I had a bit of a surprise when I looked at the gospel for today, because I thought, no, that's odd. Mark 6. I don't know the Bible word for word, and I can't quote you lots of quotes, but I did know that Mark 6 was where the story of the feeding of the 5,000 comes in. And I thought, right, that's what we're going to get today. And we didn't. Oh dear. If you noticed on your sheets, we missed out a great chunk of verses. We had a little bit, and then a bit missed out, and then another bit. And so all we had was, you might say, the top and the tail of the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And then I began to wonder why on earth they'd done it. And I suppose, in a way, for most preachers anyway, the feeding of the 5,000 is something they've probably had to preach on lots and lots of times. And it's something they know very well. And the two little bits before and after get forgotten. They get, as it were, not noticed because everybody's focusing on the feeding of the 5,000. And yet, the more I read them, the more I realised that they were both important and significant for life today. Well, for my life anyway. Because really they're all about what you might term the work-life balance. And I find that one of the most challenging things for an awful lot of people in our world today. The challenge of how to make work and life in balance. How to share out your time wisely, evenly, properly, if you like, between the two. For a lot of people, their work can be incredibly demanding, consuming, taking, well, not just 8 working hours, but often by the time you've travelled to work, if you have to use the A40 particularly, and got back, you've probably used 12 hours rather than the 8 hours you officially work. It's a challenge. And I tell my own story because, yes, in a parish, 2 churches, 2 villages to look after, it was pretty challenging. And as I got older, so of course it's that strange business where everything seems to take a bit longer when you get older. You're not getting slower, but it's just happening. It's very odd, you know. They say time passes more and more quickly as you get older. Well, you young ones wait and you'll find out what it's like. So, very strange, because I thought in retirement, of course, this is going to be wonderful, because I shall now have all the time in the world to do whatever I feel like doing. Oh, it's going to be a glorious time. Ha ha. It didn't work out like that, did it? Oh no, oh no. As I suspect for an awful lot of retired people, it's the same. Because, of course, now, you haven't got your fixed points. There were lots of fixed points that, as a clergyman, you had. Now, life stretches before you. So you think, right, I'd better do those things I've always wanted to do. And you suddenly find, of course, after a little while, I think it was about 3 months, I suspect, after retirement, I suddenly realised that it seemed as if I was almost as busy as if I hadn't retired, but now I was doing an incredible variety of things, far wider, in fact, than I'd ever done when I was working. Of course, I realised that it was all my own fault, because I'd now stuck my neck out and volunteered for this, joined that, done something else, and so on. And so I was finding my time was being swallowed up, and at some point in, I had to say to myself, help, help. I used to say to people, how do I retire from retirement, you see? All I got was they smiled at me and said, you die. Which didn't help a lot, I must say. That didn't solve the problem. So it was fascinating because I realised that we have to learn to handle time. Whatever stage of our life it is, whether we're heavily involved in work of different kinds, or whether we're simply involved in church of different kinds, whatever it is, only we can learn to handle our time. And that seems to be what was happening in our gospel reading today. If you look at it, you'll realise that Jesus, as it were, decides to go off and have a rest, have a bit of peace. He's prepared to take the disciples, which I think is very brave of him, because they were as much his problem as the ordinary folk who came around. But anyway, he said, it's okay. And it was fascinating because, of course, what happens? They find where he's gone and they come and find him and chase him around because they want to listen to him. They want to hear him. They want to be healed by him. They want and they want and they want from him. And it's fascinating, although they're never underlined because they're only short little sentences sometimes, a verse or two. We're reminded how Jesus has to seek out some space in his life every now and again. You'll see he goes up into a mountain and eventually the disciples go and find him because he's obviously been there for a little while if they have to go and find him. And you realise that even he had to find some sort of balance between activity and quietness, between space and people. He needed to find a balance that helped things to be kept in perspective. There's no easy way, I think, of finding that good work-life balance. It's something that everybody has to do for themselves. If you're a person who likes to be liked, then of course you're going to say yes to lots and lots of requests. Beware. There will be a point at which you painfully, and I'm learning it painfully, have to learn to say no. And God may well be quite happy with you saying no. I've really got enough on. I really can't cope with something else. And it's not as if God is saying you must do good things all the time. He's not saying that. He's saying I've got my purpose for you as I've got my purpose for each and every person. But don't worry. If you don't manage something I was hoping you'd do, I'll find someone else and they'll do it for me. What I want most of all is that you will be cared for. It's a shame in a way that mostly now we're not close to the land and not close to farming. It's a pity because in a sense those pictures of the Good Shepherd, the pictures that Jeremiah produced in his reading, all about shepherds who could be good and bad, but good shepherds cared for their flock. But in the end, of course, you've also got to be there to be a good shepherd. You can't be a good shepherd if you're so flaked out that you're not much use to anyone, quite honestly. So I think the challenge for that gospel today, have a look at it when you go home, have a look at it and think, right, what do I do? Where is my balance? It may be that you're one of those strong people who's very good at saying no. And maybe God is challenging you to say, wait a minute, think. Sometimes yes might be the right answer. Not the safe way, but the challenging way. But whatever it is, I think in a way it comes back to offering to God what you are, who you are, what sort of person you are. And saying to him, Lord, help me to make the most of the gifts you've given me, but also to keep close to you. Jesus went away on those moments of peace and quiet when he went up a mountain. He didn't go just to do nothing. He went to give God space, his heavenly Father, space to, as it were, communicate with him. Space to let him find his Father's way rather than his. My meat is to do the will of my Father, said Jesus. But he'd got to find out what it was. And that's where he needed space to find out. And where we need space sometimes to find out what God actually wants us to do. There's 1,001 good things that want doing. But it may be he has one particular thing that he wants us to help with and to do. But until we give him the space, if you like, to reach us, we shall never find it. So I hope you will find your own way, wherever you're coming from, whoever you are, you'll find your own way of seeking that work-life balance that Jesus had to seek even in his busy life. And may you enjoy it.